I am going to be presenting on our data on the health needs of emerging smaller Asian American subpopulations. This is something that several of us on the panel have talked about multiple times, the need to focus on smaller populations and the value of looking at small populations. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. So I'm going to go into Asian Americans in context. I think a lot of you already know a lot of these slides, so I'll rush through them. We all know, and I'm sure you've heard in several of the oral presentations already, that Asian Americans are the fastest growing minority group. You can see here that our percent increase is almost 130% compared to the other groups. And the Asian population in the United States is extremely diverse, and these boxes represent the size of the Asian subgroups represented in the boxes. We've also known that the model minority stereotype continues to exist. This is from a Time magazine cover in 1987, but as several of you have been following in the news, we are still battling this myth. And just recently, Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times wrote about the Asian advantage and that we are disproportionately stars in American schools and society as a whole. So we're continuing to battle this idea of the model minority myth. And a lot of this happens because of data aggregation. When we're aggregated as a whole, we do look like we're doing better. And it looks like we're doing fine in terms of health outcomes. But in fact, we know that when you look at and disaggregate out the data, you see true differences. And so Bangladeshis have some of the lowest median household income. And in terms of poverty, the rates of poverty for the Asian American and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders have grown and continue to grow into the 2011 data, according to the 2011 data. In New York City, where I'm going to focus my talk, this is just a map showing the concentration of Asian Americans. The dark bold line shows the demarcation between Brooklyn and Queens, and you can see that there's the majority of the Asian population lives in Queens. This is Manhattan Chinatown, and this is Sunset Park Chinatown in Brooklyn. So like the U.S., in New York City, we are the fastest growing population. We've had a 30% increase compared to all the other groups. None of the other groups had an increase like the Asian population in New York. And we now make about 15% of the population. And we were also the only group to experience a growth in all five of the boroughs in New York City. We also know that we are rapidly diversifying in New York City. So we saw from 2000 to 2010 huge increases in subgroups, Asian subgroups that were not represented in the 2000 census. So on the bottom you see the Nepali, Burmese, and Bhutanese groups weren't even counted during the U.S. census in 2000. And a lot of our South Asian communities and our Southeast Asian communities continue to increase in New York City. In terms of language access, we see huge differences again. While in the U.S. as a whole, 35% of Asians are limited English proficient, in New York City, 60% of our population is LEP, and 42.5% are living in linguistically isolated households, compared to about 28% in the U.S. overall. And then in terms of sociodemographic characteristics, The metropolitan New York area is ranked number one in terms of poverty level for Asian Americans. And New York City seniors, the senior population is also the fastest growing, and it also has the highest poverty rate compared to other seniors. And then just as an answer to Nicholas Kristof's op-ed, one out of four Asian high school students do not graduate on time, and so the Asian advantage is really a myth. So there's been a nice number of articles recently talking about the value of small populations and some of the challenges, and this is a roadmap that some researchers presented in terms of thinking about small populations and the challenges to doing the research. This is a quote from the article. The NIH and by extension the NCI has an obligation to conduct research to improve the health of all Americans, not just the majority population or those who are easy to identify. And from a different article, the second bullet, small populations have some of the worst health disparities in the U.S., making it an ethically imperative to explore creative solutions to the problems of insufficient data. So at our Center for the Study of Asian American Health, given the huge growth in some of the smaller emerging subgroups in the Asian population, we thought it was really important for us to identify the health priorities and understand better the new communities in New York City. So back in 2004 to 2006, we did a first round of our community health resource and needs assessment. We ended up collecting about 1,180 of these surveys across 9 subgroups. And the goals were really to assess the health needs and priorities of the New York City Asian immigrant communities using a community-engaged approach, and to collect data to complement and augment existing New York City Health Department data on Asian Americans. It was also important for us to collect this data because we use this to inform our research direction of our center. So to look to understand what the health priorities are in the communities helps us to identify funding sources and new research activities and directions for our center. Again, given that huge increase in some of the smaller populations, we realized that we needed to do a second round of our needs assessment. This needs assessment is ongoing. We launched in 2014 in the data collection phase. We are at 1,425 surveys right now across 14 subgroups. And our goal was to, again, assess the health needs and priorities of the diversifying New York City Asian population. Our focus was targeting some of the emerging smaller subgroups, and again, to complement and augment existing city health data. And so we did this by using, every year the City Health Department conducts their community health survey, which they use to see how they're doing in terms of health priorities in the New York City population as a whole. We took similar questions that they have in their survey and adapted them for our survey so that we had something to complement the data that they're collecting at a citywide level and to tell a more complete story about what our Asian communities look like. So in terms of refining our survey instrument, we had several steps. We worked in partnership with our community organizations to refine and tailor that instrument. We created a master copy of this survey. So we had 14 modules in all on specific health topics. And we worked with the subgroups and community organizations individually to determine whether some of the modules were not appropriate and which ones we would include for that subgroup. And we're also very much committed to disseminating the data back to the community and figuring out innovative ways to share the data so it's usable for the communities. So this is just some of the, I think this is 9 of the subgroups that we were focused on in terms of collecting new data on communities that we hadn't captured as fully before. And you can see that, again, there's a big range of for example, in English proficiency, our 100% of our Himalayan community was foreign-born compared to about 71% in the Cambodian population. We had a big limited English proficiency outcomes in terms of the Cambodian population and the Vietnamese population. In terms of socioeconomic status, the Vietnamese community as well as the Indo-Caribbean and the Indonesian communities had some of the lowest household income. In terms of educational level, again, we saw differences with the Vietnamese and the Himalayan communities reporting some of the lowest educational attainment. And 79% of our Cambodian population was on public assistance food stamps. So these are some of the data in terms of health status. You can see again that there is disparities in terms of reporting on a fair and poor health, so our Vietnamese communities at 41% who are fair and poor, and our Cambodian again at 43%. Some of the data on some of the diagnoses, we see that our blood pressure rates were very different in terms of blood pressure diagnoses was very high in some communities like the Vietnamese compared and the Cambodian compared to Asians overall in New York City using the health department data. And then in terms of some of the health concerns, this is just showing some health topic areas and how they ranked in terms of the top three health concerns by community or subgroup. And cardiovascular disease was a top concern, as were headaches and respiratory problems across a lot of the groups. And then this is just to show you that there was again a huge variety in terms of reporting on what other health conditions were important to the communities. In terms of tobacco and alcohol use, we saw high levels of tobacco use among our Cambodian population and high rates of binge drinking compared to the other groups for the Cambodian populations, as well as for our Himalayan population also had reported bigger rates of alcohol use. And this is some data on the mental health and just mental health. I actually cut out discrimination because I thought it was too much data, but I forgot to take off that on the title, sorry. But in terms of the depression screening rates, we saw that, again, the Cambodians were reporting some of the higher depression risk rates. And in terms of anxiety, we were seeing high rates in the Indo-Caribbean and the Pakistani. I also wanted to include the missing scores because these are clinical tools that are used to assess depression, and we were doing this in a community-based setting, and so I think that that might speak to some of the missing score data that we're seeing. I think it speaks to, again, that we need to develop more tools that can be used in community settings to capture some of this information, and maybe that we need to do additional data collection to complement the data that's received through these short tools. And then in terms of conclusions, we did a review of the literature on small populations research, and there is a paucity of research that exists, especially on these smaller emerging Asian populations. Our Asian subgroups that are rapidly growing experience a range of health-related outcomes. Some key health priority areas in these subgroups include cardiovascular disease, headaches, and respiratory problems. And we saw lots of health disparities, particularly for our Cambodian population. Our Cambodian Vietnamese subgroups reported some of the higher rates of poor self-rated health. Both the Indonesian and Cambodian respondents reported poor access to health care providers. Cambodian and Indo-Caribbean subgroups reported higher rates of depression and binge drinking, and there was increased diagnosis for high blood pressure in the Cambodian and Vietnamese and Indo-Caribbean subgroups, and diabetes for the Bangladeshi and Pakistani respondents. In terms of key recommendations moving forward, we really found at our center that it was important to partner with our community organizations. They really helped us to think about innovative recruitment methods, to use respondent-driven sampling, to really capture some of the community members that were not being captured in the city health data, for example. Disaggregated data collection and analyses using community-engaged approaches are very important in understanding the data that we have collected. We are working to integrate a mixed methods approach. We just submitted a supplement to do qualitative qualitative interviewing to complement the survey data because of some of the missing responses, and we want to make sure that we're accurately capturing what we're seeing. Also, capacity building to facilitate community engagement and information sharing is key. We partnered with community organizations, but there were varying levels of readiness in being able to fully participate in this kind of data collection. And so we've been working very closely with our community organization partners to really think about the type of data that they are interested in collecting and that they need in terms of advocating for their own populations. There, we need continued advocacy at the policy level for sustainable and equitable resource allocation, especially for these underserved and emerging Asian subgroups. We talk again about the lack of disaggregated data, and there's even less data for these emerging subgroups. And so as a community of public health practitioners, I think that we need to really focus on advocating also for the scientific value of subpopulation or small population data and research. So this is my thank you slide, and we have our Facebook on there and our CISA website. We are starting to, these are the data that I presented are preliminary, but we're working on putting together two pagers that are infographics that are being disseminated out into the community. We're working closely with them, with our partners to really look at the data and present it in a way that's useful. We're also working to create slide decks for our community partners so that they can share and feedback the data to their own community members, and also working on op-eds and editorials for the ethnic language newspaper to, again, share the data back to the community at large. And thank you.